At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, the official podcast of your Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Sam Farber.
Welcome to another edition of the Hornets Hivecast, your daily podcast with all the notes, quotes, and daily buzz around your favorite NBA team, the Charlotte Hornets. I'm Sam Farber, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to have you with us today here on the HHC. Very busy edition. We've got a breakdown last night's loss against the Chicago Bulls, 120-99. We'll give you our silver linings. We've got to set up tonight's game against the Orlando Magic, which I think might be the most important game of the season. Also, a special interview with two of our teammates here within the Charlotte Hornets, Maggie Yang, manager of basketball communications and manager of literacy programs, Dave Stogdill, to talk about last night's AAPI Heritage Night at Spectrum Center and some of the initiatives and efforts being undertaken by the Hornets. So we'll talk about all these things, but to help me on the game breakdown and preview segments, we welcome back Sam Perley, coordinator of digital media content, for a Two Sams edition of the Hornets Hivecast. And Sam, let's get right into it. A 120-99 loss for the Hornets. Outside of all of the injuries and absences that have befallen this team, what went wrong last night?
Well, thank you for having me. I missed you the last time. Yeah, I think the third quarter kind of got away from then. Just right from the start, it just felt like Chicago had the upper hand in this one. More physical, dominating on the glass, converting at the rim, paint points. Hornets weren't getting anything to kind of fall around the basket. They made a lot of contested shots in the end of that second quarter to kind of keep this a game. But without getting some of the other stuff, it wasn't really super sustainable in the third quarter. It just kind of broke away from them. So physicality, length, I mean, you're already, you know, a little bit smaller to begin with, and then you're down Miles Bridges, PJ Washington's coming back from an absence. I mean, it just was kind of a recipe for a tough night all around. And that's what ended up happening against this big physical Bulls team that the Hornets just have not gotten a handle on this season.
Yeah, I think with all of the absent players, you know, this game was going to come down to, do the Bulls all-stars, or at least one of them, play at an all-star level? And they did. Nikola Vucevic went for 29 points, 14 rebounds. He was brilliant out there. He was clearly the best player on the floor. And that's not a shock because he's an all-star. He's supposed to play that way. And I don't expect the players or the coaches to admit this, because it's not their job to. They're supposed to go out there and, no matter what, find a way to get a win. There are no excuses in their professions. But I'm a bit surprised, based off the media questions afterwards, that they weren't more cognizant of the fact that the Hornets were, and rightfully were, massive underdogs in this game at home. I mean, they must have been looking at the Bulls' record and not at their roster, because Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic, if they play to their caliber, the Hornets are going to be up against it while they're this shorthanded, with no Gordon Hayward, no Miles Bridges, no Devontae Graham, being absent three either starters or significant pieces against a team that has two all-stars who were both playing even if they were both coming back off of layoffs, that's advantage Bulls.
Yeah, and if you look at the first two games against the Bulls this year, I think one was back in January and it was a 15-point loss. I think the one 2 weeks ago in Chicago was 18-point loss. Just similar. Never really got a handle on it. Never really threatened. Maybe went on a little run and just the offense never clicked. And Bulls defense is good. It's just a bad matchup. I think every team in the league has that other one or two teams that is just a pesky, annoying, can't get over the hand. I mean, kind of like that with the Hornets in Detroit right now. You know, the Hornets have won 13 straight against the Pistons. They can never really get, I'm sure they feel kind of the same way about us. And, you know, hopefully that's not what's transpiring that long against this Bulls team. But yeah, it's just a tough matchup. And I think, you know, even without LaVine kind of working his way back into things, Vucevic had kind of a relatively minor ailment that maybe he just is a little bit fresher. They kind of just being precautionary and came back after probably 6 days off total. He just looked really, really sharp. Definitely, like you said, an all-star player.
The Hornets did win the season series a year ago against the Bulls. I don't want to make this sound like the Hornets are just always a bad matchup, but I think this particular edition of Chicago with Vucevic, without Gordon Hayward, this is just a lot to ask of this Hornets team. He gives so much in his all-around game, but his size and presence, even though he would still be undersized next to, say, Nikola Vucevic, he's going to offer more resistance and just pad the size statistics of the lineup a lot better than what the Hornets had available to him. And after this loss, Hornets are now 8-15 this season without Gordon Hayward, compared to 24-19 when he plays. It's pretty evident just how valuable he is to this team. And, you know, his absence due to this sprained foot, it's been a real turning point, I would say, for the team this season in terms of they were in a top six position trying to contend to move up the ladder to trying to hang on since that injury befell him. And they've done a fantastic job of hanging on and making the best of it. But you still, I think, have to be cognizant of the fact that if the Hornets play a team with two All-Stars and those two All-Stars play like All-Stars, the Hornets have to have almost everything go right to overcome that. And they just didn't shoot well enough for everything to go right last night.
Yeah, and these are kind of the games you miss Gordon a lot because he does so much that maybe you don't even notice. He can go and get you a basket. He can go and get you a rebound. He can guard guys. He can switch on different defenders. I mean, he's so versatile, and that's what made him his play so astounding the first half of the year. Just he was doing all the little things, defending, shooting, rebounding. I mean, he was the guy that could go and make a play, that playmaker. And I think Miles did a great job of kind of taking up that responsibility when he filled in for Gordon. Unfortunately, now he's out. But yeah, I mean, just when Gordon's out and a guy like that does so much, it just puts a little bit more strain on everybody else in the rotation. And sometimes it's starting to feel towards the end of the season, that strain just adding up. You're in game 65, 66. It's tiring. Every game is kind of intense and physical. And it's a tough stretch right now. But every team is dealing with it right now. Every team's dealing with injuries and guys. It's just whoever can muster up that last little bit of energy these final 10 days or so is going to be the one that's going to be where they want to be at the end of the season.
We were talking before we started, like this series, this season, it just dumbfounds you that the Bulls are where they are in the standings. They're 27-39, which means they're 24-39 against every team that's not the Charlotte Hornets. And you look at this roster and just you think, how? How is that possible? But that's what's happened. It's not to say that there weren't some positives for the Hornets in last night's loss, 120-99, some silver linings. So one dunk in particular by one Caleb Martin was a silver lining in and of itself.
A low ball on the left side, drives, kicks to the corner, Martin. Drives in baseline, goes up and hammers it down on Vucevic. And I think in his extension, he might have kicked Nikola Vucevic below the belt. But that's a highlight and a half for Martin. He was getting a little frustrated out there. And Martin takes out his aggression on the rim and Nikola Vucevic. Wow.
I think Martin took out all the frustrations for the entire season with this head-to-head matchup in one play. Not going to say it's worth three losses, but it was a pretty good dunk.
Oh, yeah, he looks good. And every once in a while, him and I know Cody's out right now, his brother, but kind of deceptively athletic. I mean, they can get up and throw the hammers down. And he had one, I think, in Detroit, too. It was Caleb, maybe midway through the game, where he tried to, I forget who was on top, maybe Jahlil Okafor hit it off the top of the back of the rim or the heel of the rim and just shot at 30 feet in the air. So yeah, it's fun. Is, you know, I guess that's one minor silver lining. If it's gonna be a tough loss, let's get a couple highlights for the digital group that we can throw out on social.
I agree with your statement too, that, you know, Martin's deceptively athletic. Those are NBA bodies. Yeah. Those guys, I'm very pleased to see both of them take advantage of their opportunities. You'd love to say that, you know, the roster is going to continue to grow as it has, but the fact of life in the NBA is that rosters turn over roughly every 3 years, with the exception of a couple very select few marquee players and just a couple of coincidences where the guys just don't move. So I think, if nothing else, both Martin brothers have proven that they belong in this league for a long time, both with their defensive expertise and their offensive flashes of brilliance, of which that was a good example. Let's get your other silver lining for tonight.
Malik Monk.
Gives it back to Washington, handoff Monk. Monk, a 30-footer, uncorks it, and he drops it down. Malik Monk, he is back. Forget that 0-for-5 from distance nonsense in Detroit. Malik Monk, 3-of-4 here, and he has energized this home crowd.
Came back from injury, was it Saturday? So this is his fourth game back, I think. So first couple games, kind of so-so. Obviously had a really rough outing in Detroit. I think went 0-of-8, just couldn't have anything working. And then kind of broke out last night, 20 points, 6-of-11 from three. Also had 7 assists too, which I think kind of went under the radar. Kind of, he really fueled that second quarter run a little bit to kind of get the Hornets back within a couple possessions. So obviously a tough loss, but to see him get some shots to go down for a rhythm score, volume score like him, very much needed, because he's confident, but you know, every guy is not going to die. Your shot's not falling for a few games, how good it feels to see 4 or 5 of those fall, and hopefully the momentum continue tonight into this Orlando game.
Yeah, I thought last night was the first time since returning from injury that Malik looked like Malik, looked comfortable out there, moved around normally, any hesitation at all on that ankle. So really good sign for him. My silver lining, I'm going to go with PJ Washington.
On the left elbow, gives the ball over to PJ Washington, fires for three, and it's good. PJ Washington, welcome back.
PJ has had a really good run here for the Hornets. This isn't a one-off. His last 6 games before missing the previous game in Detroit for personal reasons, he was averaging 20 points per game and shooting 55% from the floor. But I thought it was good to see him continue that run and also to do it against a team he has not played well against. He was 0-for-7 on the season from 3 against Chicago in the 2 prior games. So to see him come back, go north of 20 again, shoot well above 55% from the field again, and knock down the 3 the way he did, 6-for-8. That's a great sign for this team moving forward, because with all the other absences, look, Gordon Hayward is not playing tonight. Miles Bridges is not playing tonight. So you have to get some production from somewhere else. PJ Washington continues to come through.
Yeah, I thought that was big for PJ, especially since he's played really well this year, but he is sometimes backing up the performances. It'll be 3 or 4 really good ones in a row and then have one that's just kind of out of nowhere. So missing the game in Detroit and then coming right back in it and having 24 points, 6 rebounds. And I love the way he was shooting the 3 ball last night. He just looked really confident shooting it. He was, you know, no hesitation. A lot of it was creating kind of off the dribble, somewhat in catch and shoot situations. But he just looked confident. He looked good. It was good to have the rhythm back that didn't, you know, go away after since the last time he played, I think Sunday. So, and he was actually part, along with Malik, in that second quarter, really kind of helped the Hornets get back into it, at least temporarily, before it got away in the third quarter. So yeah, good to see him get going last night.
While those two posted good overall numbers, obviously not a great game for the Hornets, falling 120-99. PJ talked afterwards about turning the page.
I think obviously since we played so many games this year that we had no breaks, I think for us, we need to go home and rest our body and get ready for tomorrow. For us, as our mental approach needs to get better. We got to come out, like I said, on the defensive end and really focus on that end. I think that's the big focus. I mean, we're not really worried about offense. Our defense can transition to offense for us. So, like I said, I mean, that's the biggest focus I got. Everybody got to go home and think about this one tonight and just try to come in tomorrow with a better attitude and a better focus on that end.
That is the task at hand for the Hornets. And Sam Perley, stick around, because we're going to talk about tonight's game against the Orlando Magic momentarily. But one other important topic we want to talk about. Last night was Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Night at Spectrum Center. And joining us in this upcoming segment to talk about some of the AAPI-centered initiatives and efforts being undertaken by the Hornets are the two co-chairs of the Hornets AAPI ERG, Manager of Basketball Communications Maggie Yang and Manager of Literacy Programs Dave Stogdill. They join us next here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Hornets fans, the buzz is building. For season ticket packages for the 2021-2022 season, call 704-HORNETS or visit hornets.com to chat live with a season ticket representative. Lock in your price today.
Last night was the Hornets' first ever Asian American Pacific Islanders, or AAPI, Heritage Night at Spectrum Center. And we're thrilled to have two great team members of our Hornets squad and the AAPI community, Manager of Basketball Communications Maggie Yang and Manager of Literacy Programs Dave Stogdill, with us to talk about some of the initiatives Hornets Sports and Entertainment are undertaking as part of AAPI Month. Maggie, Dave, thanks so much for joining us today on the Hornets Hivecast.
Yes, thanks for having us. We're super excited to be here.
Thank you for having us. We're excited.
It feels like it should be obvious, but Dave, why is it so important to support the AAPI community, not just specifically this month, but every day?
Well, to us, this is extremely important to support this this community, because not only are we members of the AAPI community, but we also want to help the other HSE employees that identify with the AAPI community to feel a sense of community and inclusion with this group, and then also let them know that there's allies within the organization as well. So we want to make sure that not only just this particular month, but throughout the year, that these employees feel really welcome with our ERG and AAPI celebrations.
The most prominent members of any community within the NBA family are always undoubtedly players, and there have been some spectacular players with AAPI roots, maybe most notably Yao Ming, and today still Yuta Watanabe of the Toronto Raptors. He's a key piece to their team, and there's several prospects for the upcoming draft representing the AAPI community, so the future very bright there. But there are members within the community throughout the game. Evan Scott is a referee. He was born in South Korea. I think this is his second season on the floor in the NBA. And there's plenty of members of staffs just like ours here in Charlotte. Maggie, what is the importance of seeing yourself represented in the NBA to help cultivate new talent and inspire the next generation of team members in the NBA, whether their talents lead them onto the hardwood, behind a mic, or behind the scenes?
Yeah, no, I think it's super important. Like, growing up, I watched basketball with my family, and specifically my grandfather. He didn't speak or understand English, but, you know, the fandom and sports is a universal language. So you don't see a lot of Asians in the world of sports, which is interesting because where my family is from, in Taiwan and in China, people love the NBA. You have kids and students playing basketball at the local park till late hours, just out there playing pickup. But growing up, we watched Yao Ming, of course, but when Jeremy Lin had those breakout games with the Knicks and during Linsanity, I remember watching those games with my grandfather, and it was just another experience for us. It was great, you know, to see that perfect Cinderella story for someone who looked like us. It's also awesome to just, like, see what he's been doing now for the Asian American community and using his platform to spread awareness. So I think in today's NBA, it's getting a little more diverse, and it's cool to see the worldwide impact that the NBA has. I was actually lucky enough to work with Yuta Watanabe when I was with the Grizzlies, and he would always have so many media requests after practices from Japanese media members, and you really got to experience how big of a fandom there is in Japan for not only him, but for the NBA as a whole. So we're seeing a lot more representation in the league, like you said, with Evan Scott, who is a Korean-American ref, and you have Asian-Americans in every department on different teams throughout the league, like Dave and I, you know? So I think it's great to have this representation, and I'd love to see even more of it throughout the years.
You are both members of the AAPI ERG within the Hornets. Dave, what are some of the goals you'd like to accomplish with this group?
Well, some of the goals are to promote awareness for all of our staff through learning opportunities and potential themed events and celebrations. You know, for example, one of the things that we are potentially looking at to be able to offer to our staff is to focus on a bystander intervention training that is a free online training that may be able to be offered through the NBA. And the NBA has partnered and researched this training. So this is an opportunity for us to create awareness for some of the awful things that are happening in the world right now and in the news that we've all heard of. So part of the reason that the ERG is available is just to create that awareness and learning opportunities.
And those are lessons that, sadly, there's many different groups that could use allies to come to their defense and just be allies. Maggie, I would imagine some of what's going on in the current social climate had
something to do with why the group came together?
Yeah, for sure. We actually, as a group, got together informally before we formed a formal ERG. So when we got together, it was really after hearing about what was going on with the Asian American community right now. One of our ERG members, Sophia Kim, actually brought us together just to hear our thoughts and opinions on everything that's been going on in the world. And, you know, like hate crimes and instances of discrimination towards the AAPI community have increased drastically just during the pandemic. So to have a group like this to be able to confide in, and it's really just a safe place for all of us to hear each other's opinions and talk through these hard conversations. So it's great to have this group and to have allies, like Dave was saying, to have allies in our ERG. You know, you don't have to identify as AAPI to support and be a part of the group. It's just great to have this diverse group to hear multiple perspectives, and we're really kind of just learning from each other.
And there are certainly a lot of allies, if not all allies, within the Hornets organization. But outside of the organization, we want to help build and bring awareness as well to this issue. Dave, what are some of the ways that the team is working to do just that?
Well, we've reached out to the NBA, and the NBA has identified two key partners and resources that are nonprofit organizations that bring awareness to this issue. And they were highlighted in last night's game. Two of the nonprofit organizations are TAAF, and that stands for the Asian American Foundation. And their mission is to serve the AAPI community in pursuit of belonging and prosperity, free from discrimination, slander, and violence. So that's TAAF.org. The second is the AAJC, the Asian American Advancing Justice. And this organization can be the voice for the Asian American community, you know, fighting for civil rights through education, litigation, and public policy. And with that particular organization, I'd also like to point out is that they highlight, you know, a call to action. So if anyone wants to report and document anti-Asian discrimination, they can go to www.standagainstthehatred.org. And the NBA has identified those two organizations as key partners and resources.
Well, Maggie, Dave, thank you both so much for joining us here today on the Hornets Hivecast and for all you bring to our organization. Maggie, I think I talk to you more than I talk to my wife at this point with all the media requests I have. But we appreciate you guys stepping out of your quote-unquote normal roles with the team to talk to us about all the important initiatives going on within the Hornets and within the NBA to support the AAPI community. Thank you both.
Thank you so much, Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
Hornets fans, be sure to download the Hornets app on your mobile device. The Hornets app is your access to all new features and exclusive content, including the new game day experience for every game this season.
Our thanks again to Maggie Yang and Dave Stogdill for joining us here today on the Hornets Hivecast and talking about some of the AAPI-centered initiatives and efforts being undertaken by the Hornets, and also for letting us in with some insight about some of the things that took place last night as a part of Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Night at Spectrum Center. Back with us to break down tonight's game, Sam Perley, coordinator of digital media content for the Hornets. And Sam, I think tonight's game is the most important game for the rest of the season for Charlotte. There is an awful lot of unknown into the future. When you look at the two-game road trip to end the season against the Knicks and Washington, you look at the matchups with Denver and the Clippers, there's the potential that some of those teams will take an opportunity to rest guys and make it a more favorable matchup. There is the chance that the Hornets might get some people back for some of those games that are currently not available to play. There's a lot of unknown, a lot of uncertainty about what could be there. And quite frankly, the Hornets at that point could have clinched their positioning, either hopefully by then the play-in tournament is clinched, but could have also clinched their 7-8 position. So the game might mean less to Charlotte as well. But right now, everything is at stake for the Hornets. They are not getting any healthier from last night to tonight, at least not in a significant way. So this game against a wounded, undermanned Magic team becomes the most important game of the season because it's the only one where the Hornets are a clear, clear favorite, even with the missing pieces that they're having to play without.
Isn't always coach speak to say the most important game is the next game? No, I agree with you. All those reasons. Yeah, this is one where you kind of look at it on paper, and I've come on here a number of times, say everybody in the NBA is good. Look at this one on paper. You look at what the Hornets' goals are right now. You look at what the Magic's goals right now. This is one you got to win. This is one you have to go and take care of business like you did against Detroit earlier this week and last weekend. You talk about Magic are clearly kind of prioritizing youth development, seeing what they got, a lot of younger guys. And they've got a lot of younger guys that haven't been on the team for very long. I mean, they really overhauled their roster back at the deadline, sending out Nikola Vucevic, Evan Fournier, Aaron Gordon, Gary Clark, some of those guys. A lot of young pieces right now with RJ Hampton coming in, Gary Harris, who's not quite as young, but still a very nice piece from Denver. And then on top of seeing what they got in Cole Anthony, Mo Bamba, Dwayne Bacon, guys like this tonight. So much like that Detroit game, I think you got a lot of young guys that are going to be trying to prove themselves on this Magic squad tonight. Can be tough games at this point of the season.
Looking back, the two teams played twice back-to-back days in Orlando early in the first half of the season, and they split them. Charlotte won the first one on a great play by Gordon Hayward down the wire. Great drive and lay-in to finish off that W, one of the highlights of the season. The Magic won the next one, 117-108. Here's some of the players that played in that game and their scoring lines, and they're not here for this one. One, Nikola Vucevic, remember him?
I'm a little familiar with him.
Yeah,
yes.
Not too long ago, he had a line similar to this one. He had 28 points and 12 rebounds, and that one sounds an awful lot like what he did last night to the Hornets for Chicago. Aaron Gordon, you mentioned him, 12 points, 11 rebounds in that game. Evan Fournier, also not with the team, 19 points, made 5 threes, had 6 assists. He gone. Gary Clark, you just mentioned he's not there. 8 points, 3 boards. He's not on that team. Cam Birch is now a Toronto Raptor. 8 points, 8 rebounds in that one. So there's a lot of firepower for the Magic that won them that game that will not be there today. Now, all that being said, the Hornets also in those matchups, they had Devonte Graham play pretty well. We don't know what Devonte's status is going to be for tonight's game. We're not going to speculate there. Obviously, Cody Martin has been a significant piece on and off, but you hate to say you replace one twin with the other, but they kind of have been able to get away with that, at least lately. And then Miles Bridges is another significant absence to go with Gordon Hayward that they're just not going to have. But I still think this is a Hornets' favorite game and by a pretty comfortable margin, and it's one where they have to take care of business. And Malik Monk talked about that after last night's game, about what's ahead for the Hornets and how important tonight is.
We know what we got to do, man. We can't really dwell in it too much. We got a game tomorrow, another game tomorrow that we need desperately, man. So we can't hang our heads too much. We're going to worry about it after we play Orlando, man. Get a couple of days, watch the film, see what not to do, see what to do. And I think we'll be all right.
Malik sounding confident. And there's good reason for the team to be confident still, because the magic number to just make the play-in tournament, to play in a postseason game of any kind, is 2. And there is a path for the Hornets to do it tonight. If Charlotte wins and the Bulls lose their game tonight on night 2 of a back-to-back at home against Boston, that's it. Celebration time. Come on. The Hornets will have punched their ticket at least into the play-in tournament. And the magic number to be in the 7-8 game is 5 with only 6 games left to go. That's not a ton of margin for error, but when you look at Indiana's schedule, when you look at Washington's schedule, and you know that the Hornets have the tiebreaker in both of those, it does leave you with at least a little bit of confidence that the Hornets can make it across the finish line, but it becomes very much in doubt if the Hornets don't win tonight.
Yeah, I think, like I said, take care of business. And 5 doesn't sound too overwhelming. And when we talk about magic number, I think that's a Hornets win counts as 1 of the 5, or a loss by the team that would be in 9th, or in the just play-in tournament sense, the 11th. So whether a win or loss by the team that is currently in the position below the minimum of what you want to go counts as 1.
Well, yeah, and for the play-in tournament, quite frankly, I don't think Charlotte needs to win again, because I don't think Toronto and Chicago are going undefeated from here on out. So I think, you know, mathematically, is it clinched yet? No, and you want to celebrate when those things are achieved. So hopefully there is reason for the Hornets to celebrate tonight. In terms of Indiana and Washington, I'm not going to say you assume that they're going to go undefeated, but I kind of feel like you have to assume they're going to get reasonably close, just given how talented the teams are and how well they've been playing more or less recently.
And they play each other, on Saturday. So someone's going to lose.
And the Hornets wrap the season playing at Washington. So if nothing else, hopefully a healthier, at that point, Hornets team will have the ability to take matters into their own hands in a head-to-head meeting. But regardless, the math becomes a lot easier if the Hornets take care of business tonight.
Yep, take care of business. In fact, just win the next six, and then you don't have to worry about it. But I think ultimately, you know, where, you know, whatever the stretch and how it shakes out, because you don't know what team states are going to be over the next 10 days, but you really want to be in that 7-8 spot. You really want two cracks at this, because you get in that 7-8 spot, you got to win just one of two games. You're either going to face, you probably would go, say they get eighth, you go on the road and face either Boston or Miami, you lose it. You face probably Washington or Indiana and just win one of the two. I mean, 50-50. I know it's not that simple, but that's what you want to do. But if you're in that 9-10 spot, I mean, you got to win two games in a row, and that's tough. That's really tough, and they're both going to be on the road.
But I think it is that simple, and I'm going to be optimistic here. Let's say Gordon Hayward is playing by then. Let's say Miles Bridges is playing by then, which the timeline works out that it is possible. Full disclosure, I know nothing. I am not saying I know when he's coming back. I am being purely optimistic because we're going to be positive here as we wrap up this edition of the HHC. But if he comes back, if Gordon Hayward comes back, if the Hornets have their full complement of players, I feel very good about them winning one out of two against a field that includes Boston, Miami, Indiana, and Washington. I don't care who the two are. Yeah. I feel good about Charlotte winning one out of two. If they remain this banged up, it's a whole different story. But being optimistic, yeah. I feel good about that scenario if the Hornets get even just Gordon Hayward back or even just Miles Bridges back. I feel better about them going one out of two.
I agree. And if you go into that 7-8 game, and let's just say hypothetically, because we don't know what's going to happen, you go up to TD Garden and you go and play the Celtics, or you have to go down to Miami. I mean, those have been some tough places to play. But you coming home, say you lose that, you come home to host an Indiana and a Washington. I mean, you have that home crowd. I mean, that sounds exciting to me. I want to be a part of that. I think that could be really cool. And can you imagine having a one-game playoff to get in? I know there's been a lot of talk with the play-in tournament and whether players like it and coaches and things like that, but that would be a pretty cool environment. You got one game to win. Let's just go get it. All hands on deck. If it gets to that point, so be it. But should be an exciting 2 weeks. And hopefully, starting tonight, Hornets can take care of business and take care of this Magic team.
Tip tonight is set for 8 p.m. Be sure to join us on our flagship station, Sports Radio FNZ, for the pregame action at 7. And if you're home to watch it, you can tune in on Bally Sports South. Eric Collins, Del Curry will have the call. And, of course, Ashley Shamady and Gerald Henderson have all your pregame action. And we'll have another podcast for you tomorrow, breaking down the results of tonight's game against Orlando. A big thank you again to Maggie Yang and Dave Stogdill for joining us today to talk about AAPI Heritage Night at Spectrum Center. And a big thank you to Sam Perley, coordinator of digital media content for the Hornets, for joining us again on a Two Sams edition of the HHC.
Thank you for having me.
And most of all, thanks to all of you for tuning in. Again, we'll have another podcast for you tomorrow, breaking down tonight's game against Orlando. Till then, for everyone here, I'm Sam Farber, saying it's been a pleasure and a privilege having you with us on today's edition of the Hornets Hivecast. And in the words of LaMelo Ball,
thank y'all. Have a good day. Wear your mask.
Thanks for listening to the Hornets Hivecast. For more coverage, visit Hornets.com.